Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and we are excited once again to have our guest, Mike Quinlan, back on the show this week. Producer extraordinaire of the Ellicott Silly Comedy Festival and pivotal person in getting Quality Time Live off the air, hopefully in 2 weeks, live at 1 o'clock on March 28th down in Old Ellicott City at Unusual Company. Tickets still available at ericcomedy.com. Hop on there, grab yourself one. Let's do this. Justin Schlegel, Joe Robinson are both being in attendance and on the show, so you definitely want to be part of it. This episode is pretty fun. Mike is, he's had enough of us after this one. Let's just be honest. But hey, we're here again. Let's get it done. Get strapped in. Turn the volume up to 11 and get ready for The Exorcist continued.
Kiddies, it's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
I feel bad for him, dude, Eric, sometimes. I didn't really hate him as much as everybody else did.
I don't hate him.
It's been a long time. He was a manipulative piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know what? I'll say it, too. I hated Hitler as well. Welcome to the Quality Time Podcast.
I do agree with that, Lauren Michaels. Lauren Michaels, I do agree that Hitler was bad.
Welcome back. My name is Eric Woodworth, joined by my... I'm going to introduce our guest first. We have our guest, same as last week.
Yay!
Michael B. Quinlan. How are you doing, sir?
I'm back. I'm doing great, Eric. I had a great time last week.
What's the B stand for?
Bernard.
Bernard. That's real.
B-E-R-N-A-R-D, like Bernard.
Bernard.
Okay. Bernard. Well. Bernard Shaw. Bernard.
Well, great. Thanks for joining us once again. Still donning the priest gear. Now, is this a costume that you bought, or is this a legit priest getup?
This is a black suit that I got from...
Tom Myers.
No, don't you ever say that to me. No. Banana Republic.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but the shirt itself is called a Friar Tuck, and you can get them anywhere on Amazon. Oh. Now that Jeff Bezos has destroyed the fabric of America and the world at large.
Yeah, but this shit is so cheap.
Dude,
God,
$7 wedding ring.
Yeah.
$7 wedding ring.
That's solid, man. That's solid.
Yeah,
have you seen the new wedding ring? Have you seen the new wedding ring phase that a lot of contractors and shit wear? It's
the
nylon one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty. That's a thing that's catching on now.
I saw that. Yeah, it just seems. I mean, are there that many people Jimmy Fallon themselves and ripping off their fingers?
I don't know about that. Like, but for instance, my wife, her engagement ring, the most expensive piece of jewelry she owns, she doesn't wear it out, but she has a fake engagement ring that is just it's fucking prop. Jewelry
makes
and
a lot
she puts
of sense.
That on. She's like, if I ever get robbed, then I'll just give him the fucking $5 ring that's on me right
makes
now.
Makes a lot of sense.
I literally paid what $130 or something for my wedding ring, and then I realized
brag.
And then I realized I could get the same exact ring for $12 online. So
yeah,
felt like an
idiot. Just told that joke, but okay, it doesn't matter. No, you know what I'm saying?
I liked it. No, when Jeremy said it. If I'm going to be honest with you,
felt like such a sucker getting it from a real jewelry place, and I'm ripped off.
It's like when I hear "Turn the Page." I like the Metallica version better. Okay, I just like the way they produced it.
No, as a matter of fact, no, Eric, and no, Joe Robinson. My delivery was better.
My other guest and host. Of the show, my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how you doing?
There is no Jeremy. There's only Zool.
Oh, only
I'm
Zool.
I'm the demon from Exorcist Zool.
Classic
I
Zool.
I am also the Keymaster.
Oh, fuck.
And the gatekeeper.
Hey, the gatekeeper, eh?
Hey, do you hear Rick Moranis? He hasn't acted in like 20 years. He's coming back. He didn't want to do the new Ghostbusters. He doesn't want to be any of that. He's actually just enjoyed his life of being just
be
a dad.
Honey, I Raped the Kids?
Yes, Honey, I Raped the Kids.
Dude,
it's the adult version
of... Finally, a porno.
No, he's coming back for the reboot of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. That's what he's coming out of retirement for.
Really? And that's funny that he passed up on the second Ghostbusters.
So, yeah, that's it, man. That is our jam. So, let's see.
You know, Annie Potts wouldn't
man,
say no.
Annie Potts used to be Annie Hotz.
Corvette Summer.
Now, something we forgot about, and I want to get into it before we get to anything else. We have a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections.
Ooh, which opening are we using?
Imagine there's no Joe's corrections. If we didn't make big shit up on Quality Time, then we wouldn't be drinking or having such a good time. Then we would be sober. Imagine all the corrections. And we wouldn't be so dumb.
Joe Robinson's corrections with a little help from Yoko Ono
right
there.
Mark David Chapman shot the wrong one.
You shot the wrong one! So, Joe Robinson corrections. Boy, oh boy, do we got some here.
We've been fucking up bad.
The first correction, and I don't even know in context where this is. Well, let me go back to a couple weeks ago. I messed up a Joe Robinson correction that I cut from the show.
The corrections that he makes, we messed them up even more.
Listen, he and it's his number one pet peeve, and I caught myself doing it, and I edited it out of the show. So a while back, we said we were referencing Edgar Allan Poe, and I had said, quote the Raven, nevermore. It is actually... Quoth the Raven, nevermore. I did not read the thing like
but
that. I read
it
in reverse.
It wrong.
I corrected it wrong, but I edited it out, and I'm coming clean with it now, okay? So I uncorrected my correction of the right correction that Joe Robinson did.
So now we're back to square
now
one.
Now we're back to square one. How's it feel? We're here right now.
We even uncorrect his corrections.
So I assume this is for the My Bloody Valentine Day episode. He goes, he says, Robbie Robinson, Die Laughing Productions, my brother. Robbie Robertson, the band. So
yes.
That's one I'm sure Jeremy was doing because I don't reference the band ever. It's barely conscious, not barely concise.
Barely con. Man, that guy was barely concise.
He was barely concise. Gosh. I guess that's something I said. So
sometimes
I mean, let's be honest. That's just basic English language.
I mean, we're pretty dumb, and I won't. I won't put that past us.
We call that beer talk.
Jeremy, this is just a criticism of you. He goes, Jeremy doesn't think the flu is a quote unquote real disease. So when I was talking about being sick, you don't think it's a real disease.
I'm also a flat earther. Yes.
Yeah. And then he responds, it kills 14,000 people a year.
Here's the deal. I think that I would think that that's wrong. I think it's like 80,000 a year. I'm going to correct Joe Robinson's correction. Let's do it right now.
Okay.
Somebody look that up.
Oh, shit. It's on.
All right. I'm going to Google
because
it.
That's, Eric, the reason why, that's why they're saying that, why is everybody losing their, shit over this bat death stuff?
Die of the flu each year.
I'm tired
Joe's
of this.
Going to come back and say, I was just talking about America, but I'm telling you, it's like 87,000.
I'm tired of these fucking Mexican
okay, you
diseases.
Said 86?
I want a Budweiser virus.
Joe says 14K. This is the first thing, and it's from the CDC.
Yeah.
Okay. The CDC estimates as many as 56,000 people die from the flu.
Yeah,
so,
but that's just America. Does that say worldwide?
I didn't. I didn't okay. specify.
Well, try to. Well, no. Let's get the bottom of this. Look at the World Health Organization, please.
Well, I feel like, okay, the world.
I'm tired of all these white people dying of sickle cell.
World.
Just an inappropriate racist reference.
World Health Organization, how many people die of flu? All right. Let's see here. Worldwide, it's estimated to be 3 to 5 million cases of severe illness and almost 290,000 to 650,000 respiratory deaths.
Yeah, so Joe's
in
really
industrialized
wrong.
Countries.
So obviously the flu kills more people than heroin.
Yeah.
No, those heroin numbers are great, man.
Yeah, I mean, really? I want to know the percentage, though, because everybody gets the flu. So, if anything, you know.
Yeah, if I don't catch
But not
heroin.
Everybody, like, if everybody did heroin, I mean, I want to know. Well,
yeah,
know,
I mean, dude, but
they're batting, heroin's batting average is way higher,
yeah.
right?
Like, but, Eric, here's the deal. Think about it. You get the flu.
The flu's putting up Chris Davis numbers, yeah. okay? We're not, this is not great.
But, dude, here's the deal. The flu's not always bad for you unless it kills you. I mean, it's a good way to shed some weight.
Yeah, damn right.
I look fucking great every time I get
love
the flu.
To look, I would love to get the... You know, I like to get the flu, and I'd like to get one of those benign tumors that's like the size of a fucking grapefruit inside
yeah,
you.
And then you cut
that's
it
like
off,
a,
and you're like, I lost 30 pounds.
Right? Right, Eric? Right? Silver lining right there.
I always hate when you find out it's actually one of your twins from birth, so...
Who was that? That was what's-her-name? The girl who did the porn.
Basket Case?
There was a girl who was a comic in D.C.
Fucking, what the fuck is her name now? I know who you're talking about. I could see her. I've seen her work. It's great. Yeah.
You know, most tumors have hair.
We made
hair
that
and
giant
teeth.
Cutout for her for the shit show that one year. Do you remember the glory hole? Do you remember the glory hole that you picked up while I was having a Christmas party and you had to show it to all my whole family on the way out? You don't remember that, Mike?
I got to be honest with you. I do not remember that.
What was her name now? Well, there was a comedian who did some porn.
Wait a minute. I can't remember showing your family a glory hole.
So I was having a Christmas party and I worked at Fast Signs and I had printed out a giant picture of her face on a piece of cardboard that folded up so it was a whole wall. And it was a glory hole, like, just for hair. And Mike brought it out on at the shit show to say that it was the portable glory hole with her face on it. But when he came and picked it up from my house, you understand, he showed it to everybody in my family, like my in-laws and everything. He's like, oh, yeah, just picking up this glory hole right now.
Did I really do that?
That's a real thing you did. That is a real thing you did.
Get out of town, man.
I salute you.
You know why I did it? Because my dad abandoned my family. 7 months old. I was 7 fucking months old.
So that's good. No, but last night.
It's your go-to, like, my rape jokes, so.
I like it. Well, I'm going, there's one that's acceptable.
All right.
So, last night I did a show with Tommy Cimbazzo.
Also on the Ellicott Silly Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
Two shows. First night show, Kelsey's with you on the 27th. Get your tickets now. And then also the podcast.
Fuck yeah. Go and check all that shit out.
Yeah.
Ellicott, is there a website they can go to or
go
anything
to Facebook
on Facebook?
Facebook. Go to Facebook. Go Ellicott Silly Comedy Festival, and all of the shows will be listed there.
If you're an MD, that's the place to be that weekend.
That is 17 shows in 4 days, 60-plus comics.
So check this out. I'm at the show last night, and the DJ at the show is this his name is DJ Jason.
Nice.
And, really nice guy, okay?
Yeah.
Always has moonshine that he makes, a little bit of country boy. I like him a lot. But he has this kind of head that looks like... That's the way to describe it.
Never reshaped.
He
after
looks
birth.
Like it looks like the Kurgan's head when he shaves his head. If you're talking about our Highlander episode, which is our last episode.
Oh, I know the Kurgan.
It looks like a golf ball that just has chunks taken out of it. It's dimply, but also giant divots in it everywhere.
Nice.
And he has a shaved head, and it looks fucking not great. I mean, if he had the ability to grow hair, whatever's left, it needs to grow to hide what's up there.
I mean,
but
he's
lives,
a DJ. Why doesn't he just wear a fucking hat? Get a Kango or something.
He lives a bold life, and I respect that. Of
I
him.
Wish
but
I
we
was
were talking.
I wish I was a phlebotomist so I could really read his head.
Me and
so.
me and Tommy were talking on the way out because I rode up with him that he looks like a kind of like like if you took Jason Voorhees without his mask off and just shrunk him down a little bit, and like he was just like, oh yeah, I just watched Jason doing all the murders. My name's Virgil Voorhees. And we had a
conflicted though, because his real name's Jason, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, know what he should do? Know what he should do, Eric? He should wear a fucking hockey mask just up on the top of his head.
Oh, that would be badass. Oh, yeah. So he's got a, but I do like, hey, Jason, if you're listening, big fans of your work. He's a great DJ. And let me tell you, the wattage this guy puts out is fucking strong. So if you ever have a fucking big room, you put on a lot of shows, let me put you in touch with DJ Jason, because he loves producing comedy shows too.
Does he?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we worked with him before.
Yeah, you know where he was at?
I don't. I do not know where that show was. I yeah. don't. Don't fucking announce it. I don't know where that show was at.
A show we were on once.
No.
That show.
Yes.
That show. Yes. Just,
he is a nice kid.
Yeah,
he's
good.
Nice,
I like him.
I just kind of wish that I had the one eye that was like a little bit lower on my face than the other eye.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
do. You do. Come on, dude. You already have it. What the fuck's wrong with you? You look like half the time you look like you're melting. Hey, you guys!
Just call me Schlock. Or Sloth.
Sloth? Sorry. Schlock.
Schlock.
Schlock?
Sloth.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. Well, let's hop right back in to the goddamn motherfucking Exorcist. Are you guys ready?
Yeah,
I don't even know.
That was a whole week ago.
Oh, yeah.
I know, right? Can't believe I've slept on this couch for 7 days.
I love hearing the song Titular Bells.
So where we have been since last time, Reagan is clearly possessed. Doctors are puzzled, don't know what's going on. Burke, the kid toucher, has been pushed out of a window, allegedly. And there's a detective in Kinderman who is following up on the case, thinking that everything's connected.
Who's that actor? Because I actually enjoyed that character very much.
The guy who plays Kinderman?
Yeah, he plays the old gumshoe very well.
Kinderman is played by...
I like the part where he's like, he tries to trick her into getting the autograph, and he's like, it's not for my daughter.
I have that as an audio coming up. Oh, don't okay. worry.
I keep trumping you. I'm sorry.
I know. It's like having two Jeremys on the show. It's really fun. I love it.
And he's always trying to get some other guy to see a movie with him, like, hey...
Weird.
La Cage aux Folles together.
That'd be Lee J. Cobb.
That was Lee Cobb.
Yeah,
shit, Lee Cobb on the waterfront. On the waterfront, where he goes after Brando. He's a dick in that.
Oh, yeah.
Set the unions back 45 goddamn years.
Oh hell yeah!
I could have been a contender.
That's it, Jeremy.
I'm not a fucking loser.
And he was
nobody.
Also 12 Angry Men and Exodus. Look at that.
12 Angry Men. He was such a dick.
Eric has never seen Apocalypse Now.
I've tried to watch it.
You fucking believe that?
I've tried to watch it. I've attempted. I just can't watch it.
He hasn't even seen the 6-hour version.
That's an
amazing film.
I tried to watch the 3-hour version. It doesn't hold up.
You know,
to
the
me.
Beginning part of up. The. What's it called? Martin Sheen has an actual heart attack in the filming of that, and they had to take off for a while.
Wow. Yeah. I think this is my thing. Listen, when Jeremy saw Apocalypse Now, he saw it close to when it came out, right?
Yeah, it was probably 4 or 5 years after my dad abandoned my family.
Yeah, yeah. The turning point in Michael Quinlan's life. But see, I saw Full Metal Jacket first as growing up. So
yeah.
If you watch Full Metal Jacket and you never knew what Apocalypse Now was, you watch that and you're like, well, this fucking movie sucks.
No, you're right. You're
not as good.
Oh,
yeah,
you're
insane.
You
know what Apocalypse Now.
No, dude. Apocalypse Now blows Full Metal Jacket.
No, it does not. Fucking no.
That's
it doesn't.
The way Vietnam
Eric,
really Eric, was, man.
No.
Look, Eric, I'm
no.
not going to.
One
wrong,
is a
dude.
Stanley Kubrick Eric, film and is a yeah. fucking classic.
Dude, it's all
you're
about
out of your
the
mind.
Doors, man.
You're out of your mind.
Doors of the mind.
Okay, doors of perception. Okay, let's go.
I liked it. So,
Full Metal Jacket's great. There's no doubt about it.
Fuck
but
yeah.
I tell you what, I think it's if you're going to rank them, it's Apocalypse and just these three. There's way more films in the Vietnam genre, but mm-hmm. there's Apocalypse Now. Then you got to go Full Metal Jacket, and then maybe a Distant Second's Platoon.
And then there's
third.
And then there's Dumbo
Platoon.
Drop.
Don't do it, Jeremy.
And then I go,
fucking do it. You already tried to fucking ruin Steely Dan for me in the last episode. Don't fucking do this now.
Number four.
I am your new father abandoning you.
I'd say number four is Tropic Thunder. That's where I go with it. So
yeah,
it's a great film. Yeah.
And no, you know, I'll tell you what. No. I go, fuck that. I'm back. It's Deer Hunter.
The Deer Hunter is good. Now. I like the Deer Hunter.
This Deer Hunter, Apocalypse Now.
Now.
And you know what? I'll take it, Jeremy. Operation Dumbo Drop slides in at 3.
That is that.
No. All right. I'm sorry. Let's go.
Does Rambo count as Vietnam?
No. No.
By the way, note to the kids, never play Russian roulette with a semi-auto. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a shotgun.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So the doctors are still puzzled about what's afflicting Reagan. So one of the doctors comes up with this bright idea.
You ever heard of exorcism?
Yeah, we can't do it. You better fucking call God.
You ever heard of exorcism?
We can't fucking think of a goddamn thing.
Well, it's a stylized ritual in which the...
priest takes off his pants and
priests try to drive out the so-called invading spirit.
They drive into him and drive out of him over and over again. And next thing you know,
a lot of
Catholics who keep it in the
and they just they force the demon out of him by using their penis.
This is wrong, and I shouldn't say it.
In fact, although not for the reasons they think, of course, it's purely a force of suggestion.
Yeah, it's a force. It's a force.
The child is so abused, he never acts out again.
Why aren't abortions called exorcisms?
Exorcisms.
You know what? You're trying to expel a demon that's going to ruin lives.
Yeah, that's really what the original Omen was. They load Reagan up and take her in a car after that's been suggested there's an exorcism. Mom is obviously like, a fucking exorcism, that was the best thing you could fucking do.
How much is this gonna cost?
So Mom confronts Carl about the crucifix she finds under Reagan's pillow. Carl is
German
still, and he denies ever putting it under there. Detective Kinderman goes to
we never get to the real bottom of that though, because everybody denies it.
No, but we find out exactly who it is. It's
who?
It's the lady helper. She's the one who's been putting the crucifix
old girl.
In. Yeah,
the old gal.
The old gal. She's
sorry.
Sticking it up there. And speaking of sticking it up there, wait till you hear what's about to happen.
She gets a splinter. Yeah. Oh no, he didn't. He did it. He did it. We want to know why? Because his dad fucking abandoned him.
So he confronts Detective Kinderman comes to pay a little visit to Miss McNeil, making his way up the ominous Georgetown steps where Burke was already pushed and killed. He confronts Chris and says he thinks that Burke was pushed and out of Reagan's window to the steps, but there was no one in that room, so who could it have been? He presses her to talk to Reagan, but she says she's not really feeling well. He leaves, but not before asking her for an autograph for his daughter, which is...
Oh, she'd love it.
And what's your name?
I lied. It's from the...
I'll tell you what. I felt uncomfortable.
Spelling is on the back. Kinderman.
I don't have a daughter. I'm gay.
Can you make this out to my daughter? Yeah. What's your daughter's name? Carl Linderman.
Yeah, Junior.
Just a classic. For a guy who's supposed to be a on his toes detective, who thinks like two steps ahead, this is the dumbest thing he's done all the movie.
Well, dude, there's this part of it and the Nazis.
Yeah.
The next he tries to get an autograph from Lady Gaga, and he's like, she's a total freak, my daughter. I mean, I'm a freak.
Okay. She nervously ushers him out, feeling as if she's really dodged a bullet here, but her moment of safety is short-lived as shit within the house gets live.
You bitch! Go ahead! Go ahead!
And Reagan. Reagan is taking the crucifix and stabbing it into her pussy over and over again. And it's not really. I mean, it's fucking intense. So she, oh God, it's fucking bad. She grabs mom, starts slapping her.
How did that get to by the spot, the censors?
The MPAA? Yeah, I don't know. In the 70s, that's fucking strong, right?
Jesus, my God, we must have been really fucked up by Vietnam.
So they help Help rushes up the stairs, and things start flying around the room. A chair moves in front of the door, blocking the way of Carl and the other lady to come help Miss McNeil. A giant fucking wardrobe comes over to crush her. Luckily, she's able to move out of the way. She avoids that, only to see Reagan sitting up on top of her bed, and her head does a full 180-degree spin to look all the way behind her, right at Mom. Ah, fucking. And a nice little practical effect. I would say I definitely can tell that's not a real person, but a decent enough practical effect that I still think it holds up today.
Yeah, that says a lot, because you two see you see a lot of that knucklehead stuff.
I mean, it's not the best practical effect. The best practical effects movie is
Toxic Avenger.
The Thing. Go to hell. Anyway, Miss McNeil goes to meet with Father Karras. She asks him about how to get an exorcism.
And she's rude. Yeah. She's rude to a potentially new fan.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have a cigarette?
Close to me is probably possessed and needs an exorcism. Father Karras is my little girl.
Then that's all the more reason to forget about exorcism.
Why? I don't understand.
To begin with, it could make things worse.
Does she make you eat her pussy?
Secondly, the church, before it approves an exorcism, conducts an investigation to see if it's warranted. That takes time.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, I'll tell you what, his investigation didn't last very long.
I need church approval, and that's rarely given.
Could you see her?
Yes, I could. I could see her as a psychiatrist.
It's one thing that fucks everything up. It's bureaucracy.
She's already seen every fucking psychiatrist in the world, and they sent me to you. Now you're going to send me back to them? Jesus Christ, won't somebody help me?
You don't understand. You don't
help her. Just help her.
I just want to come in here and say, free exorcisms for whoever wants it. Without a question.
Yes.
No pre-existing conditions. You just get an exorcism the second you need it.
Yeah.
Bernie runs on an exorcism platform.
Yeah, but he's going to try to do this, though. He's going to try to get some of those Trump voters. And what he's going to do is he says, for immigrants, all exorcisms happen at their homeland.
Yes. Let me tell you one thing. The one thing I'm most sick and tired of is bureaucracy. The highest 1%, like this bitch in the fucking exorcist, who is the only one that can afford the Catholic Church to give this speedy exorcist, is not going to matter anymore.
Man, that could change things, man. I mean, that is a legitimate metaphorical game changer.
So,
I want all demon possessed kids sent back to Mexico. You know,
Jesus,
dude, let's be honest, dude. How horrible would that be if we deported all of our shitty white people?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you know, to some third world country.
I know you were born here, but
enough.
We're going to send you somewhere else.
Bad enough. Don't you send us
your
lead
paint?
Send
them all to Australia.
Yeah, dude, that, you know, Mike, you got a good thing. It's a one-in, one-out policy. So it's like, we get an immigrant. Yeah. It's like, all right, our shittiest fucking white dude's got to go.
I got to be honest with you. I got about 17 Quinlans. I can use.
Illegal immigration stops the next day after we send, like, the 10th shitty Dundalkian out of here.
And you know
here?
What's funny about that, though? That's obviously a joke thing, but I've thought about that, man. I got fucking at least 7 or 8 relatives I put in a trebuchet right now. You didn't hear? Didn't expect a trebuchet reference, did you, Joe fucking Robinson? A trebuchet.
I don't even
and shoot
know what
them.
Kind of car a trebuchet is.
It's a big fucking
catapult.
I know what it is. I'm just
Come on, Jeremy. Don't fuck this up.
The Chevy trebuchet. That's...
I think we send all the rabble to
it's
Delaware.
It's 1 horsepower.
Yeah.
Because that's what it
and
takes to drag it places.
And send them to Delaware.
And if it's one of my relatives, it's whore power. Okay. Get up, bump. Go ahead.
They take a little trip to go visit Reagan. The boy, a boy is Father Karras. And boy is Father Karras in for a rude awakening.
I'm a friend of your mother's. I'd like to help you.
Might loosen the straps.
I'm afraid you might hurt yourself, Reagan.
I'm not Reagan.
Too vulgar.
Well, then let's introduce ourselves.
Too vulgar.
And I'm the devil. Now kindly undo these straps.
If you're the devil, why not make the straps disappear?
That's much too vulgar a display of power, Karras.
Where's Reagan?
In here with us.
Show me Reagan and I'll loosen one of the straps.
Your mother's in here with us, Karras. Would you like to leave a message? I see that she gets it.
If that's true, Then you must know my mother's maiden name. What is it?
Oh, he just wants to find what his password for his Google account.
She pukes all over him.
It's not very believable puke, dude.
It's not the greatest puke.
It set back pea soup sales for fucking years, my mom told me.
We ate
that because my dad abandoned the family.
An interesting little tidbit. The lady who did the voice of the demon in this was so committed to the role that she requested that she be tied down, and she was a recovering alcoholic, demanded that she smoke cigarettes and drink whiskey while she did the thing. So much that for the whole thing. Anytime you hear that weird demon voice, like, fuck me, that's all that old lady who's doing it, and she broke her fucking AA to get hammered every day on set, demanded I need whiskey and cigarettes, got tied up, that so much that Friedkin actually was scared for her well-being for most
of
the shoot.
I mean, what the fuck? Dude, she could only been like getting it for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, I mean, all these talking parts, Reagan's acting it out. I mean, Linda Blair is doing a great job doing it as a child actor, but it's all her voice and all her fucking... fucking emphasis.
Tied her to the bed, too?
Yeah, she requested all of this. The directors didn't ask her to
get
drunk.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Dude, some people look at it like that. It's just like, no, she's just an alcoholic. She's like, this is my way in.
And
I can break my code.
And we didn't really need her to do it, but for some reason, she jabbed the crucifix in there, too.
Yeah, she was stabbing at her own
pussy. I'll tell you what, they said Daniel Day-Lewis was a good Lincoln. They said he was a good Lincoln.
This bitch is a better demon than he was a Lincoln ever.
Oh,
and
God.
Boy, we just triggered Joe Robinson because he worships Daniel Day-Lewis. So
I hate to say I had to cross-reference the name because she sounded so much like the voice of Rocky from Rocky and Bullwinkle. It was like, and now another shot from Mr. Nobody. I'll eat your soul. You know, it really sounded like June Foray. So.
There was a lot of names I didn't know there. So
anyway, she died.
Karis is shaken and goes to talk to Miss McNeil downstairs, who's tending to his dirty clothes.
Don't understand this either. The timeline on this is all fucked up because he did a load of wash.
Yeah.
She did a load of wash. She dried the wash. You know, perhaps, you know what? That was a cotton and or wool blend sweater. You're not going to dry that. Nobody will let that shrink.
No, nobody's going to do that.
You're not going to shrink that.
It's ridiculous.
He could have been there for days.
So they go down, and he says, you know what? I need more proof. He's going to take – she needs 6 months of supervision in the best hospital that there can be. And then an exorcism is only going to do more harm than good. Though Karis does have some second thoughts as he's leaving, as the possessed Miss Linda Blair, Reagan, didn't know that his mom had died. So he's a little bit like, oh, okay, that's kind of weird, right?
See, that's the traditional Catholic, oh, my God, she's possessed, meaning she has a baby inside her. Then she needs to go away for 6 months of observation, probably to St. Vincent's or something like that, which happened to my mom, which was nice.
So Karis comes back with a tape recorder this time. The demon starts to open a drawer next to there, and Karis invites the demon. Why don't you do it again? Not right now, Karis. He puts some holy water and sprinkles it on her, and she does not like
that.
Threw the curveball at her.
Holy water.
You keep it away. Oh, it burns!
See, here's the deal. They never tie up the end of that, though, Eric. He exposes her for being a fake. But then it's still, she's like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, Karis heads downstairs and he says that this isn't real because I sprinkled her with just regular ass water. Now
if he got it from Baltimore.
My theory on this, though, is the reason that this happened is because Father Karis is obviously struggling with his own faith, and he doesn't think that he has the faith anymore. You know, he questions his own faith throughout the entire thing. Is that the good Lord actually does believe in Father Karis, so it was blessed because it was on him. So
yeah, I don't think you know dick about Catholicism, so stick to the religion you know, buddy.
Oh, I'm sorry, this fictional movie that I made a completely baseless
accent. No, but you're trying to, dude. Yo, dude, I'm dressed as a fucking priest here. Stick to the script.
It's not like that holy spittle from like Rackbar's mouth when he speaks. You know.
So it doesn't support the case, but he goes to analyze the tape and he finds that the strange noises when they're played backwards are fucking actually a message.
What do you mean English?
That's English in reverse. Listen.
Give us time,
ladder dog.
I am no one.
I am no one.
Fear the priest. Can you hear me?
Fear the priest.
Marin.
Marin.
Didn't like and, you saying anything at all.
So, Jeremy, which is this? It's not Take Me. Which one is this? The
Stairway to Heaven.
You have a song that's for this.
Oh,
where is it?
Yeah. This movie has inspired a lot of music since the movie came out.
Wow, really?
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like one is maybe that Phil Collins song called
Susudio.
You know, yeah, Susudio. Play that one. It's
it's not this.
Susudio. It's inside. Yeah.
Billy, don't you do
it's
my
this one.
Number?
No, this is.
That one will work.
Okay, we'll do this one first.
I hated two human beings as much as I do right now.
Marin! Marin!
Give us time.
Fear the priest.
I see you.
No.
It is warm in the body.
Ladder!
We make all these things very
good. Give us time.
Get the demons out of the schizo.
Lauren Michaels, I just want you to know I had nothing to do with the production of this episode.
So they
put minutes of work into these songs.
They call in McNeil.
So you two aren't worried about copyright at all. Is that what you're telling
me? Yeah, we go hard.
It was karaoke.
We go hard. So all of a sudden, while he's playing all this, he gets a call from the McNeil house, and it's the maid lady. He rushes over there, and the maid shows him upstairs and exposes fucking what's-her-name's belly. And you can also see that the crucifix is there, which to me says that the maid has been putting this fucking crucifix on her at night. And the maid shows him upstairs, and you can see the flesh on her belly starts having the words pop out that says, "Help me," which is
and then another message comes out.
A little practical effect.
Another effect comes out and it says, "This space for rent."
Yeah.
So.
You know what? Oh my God! Do you think in some dystopian way there is a back channel into this movie where this is an anti-abortion movie?
I don't know. Explain.
Help me.
Okay, I
want
to hear.
Baby,
what you
there's
hear.
A baby in there. They're looking to expel a spirit. Do you think that there's Peter Benchley? Is that who it was? Or is that the guy who did Jaws?
Peter Blatty, yeah.
Oh, my God.
William Blatty?
I'm just
Blatty.
Seeing it right
William
now.
Peter Blatty.
I'm surprised it's some wacko.
No, the anti-abortion movie is the Terminator.
Yeah, that's it. Where you have to go back in time to stop an abortion from happening.
Is that really real?
Yeah, that pro-lifers love the Terminator. They're really into it, dude.
I got to get that fucking trebuchet working.
Kind of like a retroactive abortion.
After seeing that, Karis goes to tell the church what he's found. The diocese immediately makes the call to call in Father Marin, who we saw at the beginning, who has done only one other exorcism, and it was in Africa. And apparently this is what the demon is referencing, is that he wants a piece of fucking, he wants round two with Marin. He gets to the house, and the demon immediately starts to scream Marin's name, and he sits in and knows what he must do. Basically gives Father Karis an entire laundry list of things to get. He's just like, "I need holy water and a big print Bible." And they fucking sit down.
So they, Eric, they didn't overdub that lady's voice. That's just her on fucking whiskey and cigarettes.
Yeah, that's her on whiskey and cigarettes.
Oh my God, my mom could have been fucking famous.
So Karis is talking to Marin, and Marin gives him the skinny.
Do you want to hear the background of the case first, Father?
Why?
Especially important is the warning to avoid conversations with a demon. We may ask what is relevant, but anything beyond that is dangerous. He's a liar. The demon is a liar. He will like to confuse us. But he will also mix lies.
He'll tell you he'll show up on Saturdays, but never show up.
Attack us. The attack is psychological.
He's Mike Quinton's father.
Powerful.
Deep within him.
What's your favorite Max von Sydow movie? Mine's Victory, or Escape to Victory if you're in England.
Well, mine would be Conan.
I think it might be helpful if I gave you some background on the different personalities Reagan has manifested.
I'm too old, boy.
So far, either that or strange, bro. Three.
She's convinced that
there's
she's...
only one.
How the fuck did they get him in that movie?
So,
Who's the first one killed by Kylo Ren?
They enter the room, and it's at least... and as they enter the room, it's the least excited two priests have ever been as they enter a child's room. I have saved that joke up.
That's some real method act.
That's written in as I was doing show prep for this. I was like, man, I can't wait till we get
some real method acting there.
two priests, one girl.
She lets out a slew of fucking profanity as the two walk in.
Be unto her, O Lord, a fortified tower in the face of the enemy. That the enemy have no power over her.
And the sound of the liquid be powerless to harm her.
Your mother sucks cocks in hell, Terrace, you faithless slime.
Well, then let's introduce ourselves. I'm Damien Carras.
And I'm the devil. Now kindly undo these straps.
If you're the devil, why not make the straps disappear?
Let's lead to all that display of power, Carras.
They begin the exorcism.
Where's Regan?
And shit gets fucking live. She starts floating off the bed at times.
Can you help an old altar boy, Father?
Reagan is screaming profanities at him the whole time. It's bad. She actually throws up on Father Marin in this scene, which is actually a flub in the movie. It was supposed to hit Karis again, but a fucking thing blows and actually hit him, and the reaction you see of it hitting him in the eyeglasses and him wiping it off was a legit reaction that he had.
Really?
And he was fucking pissed. He was not fucking happy that happened.
Max van Sydow lost his shit.
Yeah, he was not happy that he got fucking puked on. As he goes further, the bed begins to shake violently. The bed completely levitates at one point. You could see that Karis is fucking shook from all this. You could see the face of the demon and his dreams flash before his eyes. The bed comes down, but Reagan seems unaffected by all of this. And at one part, after they kind of calm it down, she's just sitting there laughing at them as Marin starts to get more and more furious.
Not many people know that the guy from INXS was inspired by these scenes from The Exorcist to strangle himself to death.
They continue on, and then they grab holy water.
I'm not giving it to you. I'm not acknowledging that, Eric.
It is he who commands you. Power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ.
So they start. Power of Christ compelling this bitch.
I'll tell you what, you know the creepy part was?
On her.
Both my wife and myself are retired Catholics, but when he's doing this sermon, we could both map all those words.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we knew all that stuff still.
Wow, that's wild. So the bed finally comes down, and quickly Karis fucking ties her up again, but not fast enough as she fucking WWE axe handle smashes Karis in the back of the head.
Other people notice in that scene when the bed is rising and you look up, Lionel Richie is off actually dancing on the ceiling.
Ah, there you go.
Not acknowledging it.
A tremor then comes and shakes the entire room. Both men fall to the ground. They look up, and Marin sees the demonic statue from earlier in the film near the window. And the calm situation, it's calm for now, but it's far from over.
Let's rest before we start again.
they suggest we should rest before it starts again.
Give
and you can just see
lozenge.
It in Karis's eyes. He's just like, we have to fucking do this again with this fucking bitch who just throws up on us and levitates and shit?
Only 12 more hours and the exorcism will be done.
Marin is old and tired, and Karis is legitly fucking frightened. Marin heads down to Regan's bathroom and pops a couple of nitroglycerins. Karis walks in to see how mom's doing in the bed.
Let's go towel off.
He approaches and wipes his head, and then as he walks into the room by himself, he can hear his mother's voice.
Please, Demi, I'm afraid.
You're not my mother.
Demi.
We thought it would be better with a little bit of music, though.
This is all my fault.
Going to come.
Isso é poli por as menos. Na pasta, cravatas.
You're not my mother!
Don't listen.
Why, Demi?
Demi!
Get out of my way, way.
Demi, please.
So how's it end?
It's a blinded light.
Demi, don't lose my number, Demi.
Demi.
Demi. Demi, why you do this to me?
There's a melodic
there you go.
To
maybe we can call up Phil Collins and sell him this song idea.
He goes to
he hasn't
go.
Done shit lately.
He checks on Regan, but her vitals are low. But his mother voice is starting to get to Karis. Obviously, he tells him don't listen to it. Karis heads downstairs to check on mom again. But when he heads back up, he finds Marin's heart has stopped. He goes and grabs him and starts punching Regan in the fucking face. Which I think the funniest part is when Karis just gets up and just like, you dumb bitch, and just right cross. This is a trained boxer who's just punching a little girl, which is very, very funny to me.
And also Karis is his only one song that he's ever done as a solo artist.
Oh, yeah. So as he's doing that, he then asks the demon to come and take on him.
Come into me. God damn you.
Take me.
God damn you. Take me. Take me.
Solid reference. Solid reference, you two.
So the
he
demon
really
comes.
Took him on.
The demon comes into him and he jumps fucking headfirst through the window and then has the fucking gnarliest trip down those Georgetown steps.
I'll tell you what, that fucking whoever the stunt guy was.
God, I mean, that's
Eric,
fucking
they're
amazing.
Stone those steps.
Yeah, that's a guy who really threw himself down those steps for that.
Try
shot.
That lady.
Amazing.
They threw that drunk lady down there.
They're like, all right, you ready for the big scene, Carol?
And that those 10 minutes as he's actually going down those steps is so long.
Yeah, man! I mean, Jeremy, how many times? We're gonna need another take.
Yeah, my favorite thing is if I ever become a director and I see a stunt guy just have a really hard bump and like it's perfect, I'm like, you know, we didn't have the cameras rolling. Can we do this one more time? And I would never stop fucking with the stuntmen. Just
I'll tell you what. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with the end of this movie. But they sort of tie it up, though. They sort of tie it up. He kills himself or attempts to kill himself,
mm-hmm.
knowing that that's a suicide. Knowing.
Yeah.
Knowing, did I say, that my dad was going to fucking leave our family when I was 7 months old. No, Eric, no, seriously. If you kill yourself as a Catholic, I don't know what it's
like.
Yeah,
you don't get to
boom.
Go to hell.
I don't get to
right?
dance. I don't get to dance with the 27 virgins.
Don't you go to purgatory, though?
No, purgatory is just no. Dude, you killed yourself, dude.
That's
you
what,
took
you,
your one.
Know,
you're
you
done.
Know the only reason I know about that is because of the Robin Williams movie, What Dreams
Mork
May Come.
Mork and Mindy?
Yeah, Mork and Mindy. Because his wife
commits
suicide.
No, you're done, dude. You kill yourself, you're done.
And he tries to go to hell to go get his wife out, and it doesn't.
As
he's done. But they wrap it up at the end because Professor Dr. Priestley, the guy, that guy playing the piano, he was a ladies' man, Eric. He gives him his absolution at the end, and he wiggles his fingers a couple times.
And as a religionist, the Muslims get like 42 virgins. Catholics only get 27.
Yeah. Mm. No, nobody wants that.
Nearly. Ugh.
Nobody wants any of that.
Did we talk about the voice of the devil in the movie?
All I want in the afterlife is not to be controlled by sex. That's all the only thing I do want. I don't want any virgins at all. I don't want to have sex anymore.
Welcome to heaven. Yeah. Take your penis.
I don't want to have to be fucking. No. I don't want a peen that decides what I do. I just want to be able to do my own thing. I don't want the urge.
You should be married. Oh, that's
I already have. Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm already free.
Hey! But a bump!
Is there any song that explains the voice of the devil in this movie?
Oh, yeah. So the voice of the devil, Jeremy came up with this little ditty right here.
I love how he tries to organically introduce the concept.
I didn't know where to put this, honestly.
No kidding.
We still have
no fucking kidding.
We still have an end to this show, but...
We still had a shit time.
I don't know. This is what Jeremy thinks the voice of the devil really sounds like. I gotta be honest with you, this is his best work that he's done.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Now we all know about the devil and the things he does. But one thing we don't know about him is who he really is. What's the biggest surprise about him that takes you back? Is that voice, that crazy fact? Your mother sucks cocks in hell.
Oh, wait. Great. There's a second verse.
Oh my God! Is that McDonald?
It's Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald is the devil. Michael McDonald comes back one more time. Is he here?
Oh,
no, that's a waste of sweet suffering. Oh, no, cheers, please.
It's times like this where I think, man, you really are wasting your life.
Oh, Jerry, this is a good bit. I like it. Hey, by the way, there's another minute and a half of this song. If you go to the end of the episode, you can listen to it in its entirety. I'll put it at the end. And all of our Patreons
that pay $100 every week, we'll let you hear it.
So. Hell yeah, brother. Hell yeah. Hey, Jeremy, honestly, good work. Your other ones were just clips from the movie. That's a good fucking track you drummed up there.
I give it 90% on the idea and 10% for effort.
So.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I give you 14% and 7% for application.
Yes.
You got 21%.
Well, that's good. I like those odds.
And this is a man that really works at a place that has real shows, the Auto Bar.
No. I have a fucking great time today.
So,
I'm sorry. 2 weeks in a row.
So Karis pulls the ultimate selfless act, throws himself out of the window as he's being possessed by the demon. Reagan is free, and she's going to live a wonderful, normal life that will spawn no sequels after this.
And the guy, Kindergarten Cop, says, hey, you want to go see Spartacus with me? You like gladiator films?
How many? What, Jeremy? What does IMDb say for how many other films does Linda Blair have?
She's got lots of movies that she's been in.
Does she really?
Yeah, Linda Blair.
Night Patrol. Repossessed.
Are any of them though where she's a legitimate actress though and not a takeoff of the chick who had her head spun around?
So, have you ever seen Savage Streets or Hell Night or Roller Boogie?
Roller Boogie?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Roller Boogie, 1979.
I mean, she just hasn't had the same career Anna Paquin's had.
Yeah, I guess it's not as strong.
What about the one where she was in jail? the rape flick.
I will say though, we went to Monster Mania probably when I was like a young teenager. Jeremy took me to one of my first Monster Mania cons,
yeah.
And Linda Blair was there.
Really?
And Jeremy's rolling footage of Linda Blair as we're waiting in the
from
line
10
to go
feet
meet
away.
Her from like 10 feet away, and her security goes, "Hey, sir, you can't fucking feel Linda Blair. You can't fucking film Linda Blair," and shut Jeremy down real quick. And I was just like, "But wait, I'm a big Linda Blair fan," and I played cool. And I don't know. She did.
I
she
still
wanted
inserted
like
myself into the picture later. So
she wanted
good.
Like $25 for a picture, which really? Seems a bit ridiculous for the lady who still starred in Roller Boogie.
I want $25 for you stealing my life for telling me that story. How's that sound? I'm going to send you a fucking invoice,
and we'll deserve it and not pay it out.
Say we will, and then not.
The very final scene of the movie is the McNeils. They're packing up to move. The steps have been
they leave in the Nazi car.
The steps have been wiped clean of the blood. They find Father Karras's necklace, which appears to be one of the saints. Did you know which one it was?
It's
Mike?
Probably Saint Michael.
I'm going to go with Saint Michael, but I didn't do the show prep to figure it out. So Miss McNeil tells Father Dyer, who's there, that Reagan doesn't remember anything that really happened to her, and she's living a regular.
Oh, really?
Life.
That's good.
She's like, it's good. Hey, don't mention the fucking crucifix, pussy stabbing. That's probably something we. Yeah. Want to bring up again.
And just say every little girl picks splinters out of there.
Yeah. Next, Reagan comes up and kisses Father Dyer before she hops in the car with her mother and Carl to drive off. Miss McNeil, though, stops and calls Father Dyer over and hands him
a dime bag.
He hands him Father Karras's
his medal.
Yeah, his little necklace. So
you know
it's
creepy,
necklace.
Though, dude? We didn't talk about... So, I'm sorry.
Dyer walks over. He takes the long walk to the steps to look down one last time, the last resting place of Father Karras. And as he looks down, they roll the end of the movie, and we have made it through.
Oh, by the way,
Exorcist.
By the way, last shot. What do you see across from the Exorcist house? That's right. St. Elmo's Fire the Bar.
Oh, look at that. St. Elmo's Fire.
Here's
bring
something we need to talk about. There's a crossover between this film and another very popular film. Do you remember where Lee Van Cobb is at the bottom of the steps? And he picks up what appears to be a rabbit.
Like a ceramic
yes.
something?
It looks exactly like the fucking rabbit that Bill Murray made in Caddyshack. You didn't pick that up, you two. Oh, we're two fucking
Wait
film
a minute.
Guys.
Are you saying
run a film
are
fucking...
You say, are you saying Caddyshack is part of the Exorcist universe?
I'm saying the Exorcist...
ECU?
The Exorcist has prophesied...
Hey, Mr. Gopher, here's your friend, Mr. Vazuzu.
Yes.
How about a demon in your little demon hole?
We're two brothers who run a fucking film podcast. You don't know dick. You two don't know dick.
So at the end of The Exorcist, Vazuzu blows up and the house blows up. So it's pretty good.
Oh, sweet Joey Vazuzu. Gotta love him. So that brings us to an end, guys. We made it through The Exorcist.
Yay!
What a cinematic event, guys. Mike, thank you for joining us on the
I love
show
it
once again.
I love doing
I'm
it.
I'm excited about the Ellicott Silly Comedy Festival, man.
I am, too. I'm so glad that you guys are going to be down there with the podcast. I'm glad you're going to be doing stand-up. I'm glad you're going to be on the other podcast, too. You got Justin Schlegel coming. You got Justin Schlegel coming. You got Jeremy dressed as Pogo. And you got your lovely Joe Robinson
Joe Robinson. And can I mention, Joe Robinson is not happy that we're doing this movie, Night of the Lepus, from the 28th.
Oh, he's an elitist.
He's fucking pissed. He's really pissed.
Oh, dude, he's going to shit all over you guys.
Me and, first of all, Justin is fucking turgid about doing it.
Oh, here's the deal.
He's rock hard about doing Night of the Lepus.
Okay, here's one thing I'm telling you right now. Your fucking boy is paying a cover. He's not getting in for free.
Who's that?
You don't get a plus one.
Oh, I
don't mention
Joe
his name.
Robbins?
Don't mention his name.
Oh.
Don't.
Oh, that guy right above
he
you?
He does not get a free. He's paying $10 to get. Oh, no, $15 at the door.
No, we can drop his name. No, Chris Restivo does have to pay. He doesn't listen. You have to understand.
Okay.
But Chris Restivo, he called me up today. This isn't a lie. He called me up today and said, he's like, he's talking about how he's pissed at whoever and whatever his fucking trash life is.
James
but then he goes, you know what? hey, man, you know, it would really mean the world to me if I could be on that Quality Time live show. I said, oh, man, sorry. Hey, this is a real special one. It's really booked up already. So I told him hard no on that. So
what? Oh, at the festival?
Yeah, at the festival.
I'll throw that TV down the steps.
I told him he couldn't be on the show. I wouldn't let him be on our first live show.
Don't let me find out behind my back that this happens.
In a future live show, I didn't rule it out.
Because you know what, Eric? You know what it'll be to me? It'll be like you fucking abandoned me when I was 7 months old.
By the way, Mike, your choice is the ex-horsist. Mine is just the sexorcist.
The sexorcist. So. Hey, by the way.
That's good.
And she has to have sex with everybody to expel the
demons.
Nobody
ripped that off, though? Really?
Have you never heard the song by Necro called The Sexorcist?
No, but
that's
it would be
a real thing.
Yo, you know it'd be great, though? Here's the deal, though. You think about it. So you're getting a blowjob. Boom. Your dick's out of her mouth. Turns around, boom, your dick's right back in her mouth. There you go. Head spun.
George Necro, the sexorcist, the porn king, show me your breast, this is, I'm the best there is. The foul shit, bounce with me, degrading, depraving, the bouchery, you're naked on the couch with me. Bitch, get fucking your ass through your fishnets, cutting queefs, you banner eat shit next. I'm tit fast, I'm fucking dumb blonde, for my dick is numb, whole lick the scum. Sticking a gun in your cunt for fun, fake it, make him believe I'm raping you, choking you, makes you cum. It's edge play, be careful, fuck around and murder you by mistake and leave you dead in a bed slayed. Not my intention, you lick
quickly.
Has he take us
anytime
to show you what you need? What's your name?
Who's your daddy? And what does he do?
So, yeah, man, fucking
good
shit.
It's not a tumor.
So, hey, shout out to Necro. He's a big fan of the show.
He
loves Quality Time, man. Original white Jewish rapper from New York that talks about... He invented death rap, which is very more violent rap music. So, anyway, Mike, fucking... Elegant Silly, we're so excited to be there. You can check out the second Saturday Shit Show. It's free. It's every second Saturday of the month at the Auto Bar, hosted by you and Kimberly Callahan. Check that shit out. It's a fucking awesome show. I need to be back up there very soon.
Yes, you do.
You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com, Eric with a K, Comedy with a C. All the links to the bullshit of this show can be found there if you want to listen to us on some other platform. I got some cool video content that's up there. Come check that shit out. Otherwise, March 28th, get your tickets now. You can go on Air Comedy. They cost $10. Get there. Me, Justin Schlegel, Joe Robinson, Mike Quinlan, and all of us watch A Night of the Leapist.
Pogo.
Jeremy, take us out.
Pogo's going to be there to rape you.
Now we all know about the devil and the things he does, but one thing we don't know about him is who he really is. What's the biggest surprise about him that takes you back? Is that voice, that crazy fact? Your mother sucks cocks in hell. Why you do this, Jimmy? We have some signs to show you. Your suffering will be legendary in hell.
The devil sounds like a McDonald's. Does that also sound? He's been singing for thousands of years, and he knows how to make it right. And he knows how to sing. He was made for.
racism. And till she's rotting in hell.